Hi, this is D.C. Bellamy, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, my guest is no stranger to the show. She is Miss Christine Taylor Butler, MIT graduate, author, and local property tax advocate. So good morning, Christine. Welcome back to Cowtown Conversations.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, thank you for agreeing to come back. So another tax year and another year in the trenches.
Another dysfunctional tax year because no one I know has gotten their property tax bill yet.
So how are they to know if they want to be able to do their property tax assessment? Now they have the option now to do an interior. We're just jumping straight into this.
Yeah.
How do you know if you're going to want to do an interior inspection that in previous years was not allowed but now is allowed? How do you know if you're going to do that if you haven't gotten your assessment, and if by the time you get your assessment, everybody else is calling and now there's not enough room to get it?
Well, here's the joke. They have a lot of people in the office now to do the appeals, the informal appeals, which they didn't have last time. But here's the problem. If you notice, the people who have positive experiences with that process are in the news, but the news is not doing their job, because the reality is how many people have not gotten their taxes yet? And what I mean is, let's say not taxes, but assessments. So I went to Ascend. So I go online and I said, this is how we found out last time. The letters weren't out, but we could go online and look. I went online and looked, and it is still showing 2022. I go and check once a week. So you're going to have to go online and check to make sure the letters weren't lost. But what happened to us in 2019 was the letters came on a Friday or Saturday, and the appeal deadline for an informal appeal was Monday. And I know Mrs. McCann-Beatty is out there saying, hey, it's going to be a better process now. But you can't appeal if you don't have the assessment.
And let's slow it down and back it up a little bit, because there's a lot to cover and we're going to get there. So 2019, when property tax process assessment started, you became the face of the process. How did that happen?
We were all online, both on Facebook and Nextdoor.com. And someone said, has anyone gotten their assessment? And no one had gotten it. And it was really starting to be late in the year. And we looked online and the assessments were there and they were wildly inaccurate. And some people were reporting assessments as high as 1,800%. So I said, well, you know, there's something wrong with this. So I contacted all of the news stations and said, I still don't have a letter. And the appeal deadline is Monday. So I think John Pepitone came out and he says, well, let me see the letter. And I said, let me repeat, no one has a letter and it's now Friday afternoon. I think the only real news station that followed up was Angie Ricono, because once we started getting our paperwork together and rushing, and then the county extended the deadline because there was no way for anyone to get an informal appeal through. I was helping a neighbor, and we're all discussing the problems with the assessment, and I told my neighbor, let me help you with your appeal. Let me look at all the property values around your house so that we can kind of figure out where you are relative to other people. And I noticed a couple of things is houses that were highly renovated and on larger lots were getting lower assessments than she was. So she's in a house that hasn't been touched for decades, and her assessment went from 170 to 450. But houses down the street, they were on twice the lot size, twice the house size, had new additions, had much lower property values, and some people were assessed at lower than they had actually paid for the house. So I said, well, let's do a different experiment. Let's look at all the county legislators. And I noticed that one of the reasons why they were telling their neighbors, I don't know why you think there's a problem, is because they were getting lower assessment increases than their next door neighbors. So I contacted the news again, and Angie Ricono followed up. And she said, you know, this is like the gift that keeps on giving. So she went to the attorney general and got, I think she got budget, to do more than one show. And then they started getting all these emails under the Sunshine Law that showed that before the letters went out, the assessment office knew something was wrong with the programming, and it was kicking out wildly wrong numbers, including one person who had two empty lots side by side, and one was 4,000, one was 40,000. So, you know, we went back and said, you know, this happened with Curtis Coons years before, and Curtis worked with us to fix the system. But in this case, Gail McCann Beatty dug her feet in and just got entrenched. And when you start looking at the emails that were passing between staff members at the assessment office, one gentleman said, people should stop, I'm paraphrasing, people should stop whining, but essentially he said, people should take out a home equity loan to pay the upcoming taxes or just sell their homes and reap the benefits. That person's now sitting on the BOE. So,
and this is the thing. Where are our seniors to go?
Nowhere.
Because you sell the golden goose one time, that only comes back to you one time. And the other part of this situation is a lot of our seniors' homes need so much work that even if they were to sell, they will not get top dollar because of the amount of work that has to be done. So they're going to get, if the house is worth 100, somebody's going to probably come in there and try to give them 20 to 25. $25,000 seems great for a house that you may have paid $10,000 for, but when you look at a rent, is $1,000 a month. You just got barely enough money to survive for 2 years.
Well, and here's the unfairness part of it. You know, in my neighborhood, we actually had a neighbor who was born in his house, he and his twin brother, and he died on his 100th birthday. So we're talking about a house that has had some improvements over the years to update it. But this is not, these are not neighborhoods full of rich people who moved in from the East Coast and West Coast. These are people who probably paid $15,000, $20,000 for a house. When we first moved to Kansas City, we paid $75,000 and we were struggling to get the $75,000. You can't tell someone who's lived in that house their whole life that because someone moved in from California, where the housing is really expensive, and bought a house on the street and put, for instance, on my block, someone put $400,000 in. They were vacant for 2 years, and $400,000 in a down-to-the-studs remodel that slammed every house on the street which had not gone through that process. You know, some have still have knob and tube into the same valuation. So if you're a senior, let's say you can sell your house, where do you go if the rents are high? A studio apartment or a one-bedroom apartment at Mac can be as high as $1,200, $1,500 a month. So where do you go? And what the realtors were doing in my neighborhood was they were grossly inflating the property values. So I have a neighbor who's next to our daughter's duplex, who that house I think was listed for $650. And I know the person who bought it thought he was getting a bargain because he paid $4 something for it, which was still too high. And he's now saying, when was the roof last put on? And oh my God, this house needs so much work. And I said, yeah, the real estate agents saw what kind of profits they were making. They were literally telling people, oh, we can't find comps. Don't appeal your property tax values. But they were inflating the value, and then people would move in and say, wow, I didn't realize that it was going to take another $200,000 to get this house up to speed.
Christine, what are your thoughts as you hear the average increase, and this came out of Gail McCain-Beatty's mouth, is around 30%?
Okay, that depends on where that 30% is. Because I went to her first public meeting. It was at a police station, probably for safety reasons.
We were there together.
Yes, we were there. And I was talking about the fact that there was a bill that was passed out of committee with bipartisan support to freeze property taxes. So the people who would see an increase in property taxes are the ones who bought a house. But if you bought a house, your property tax would go up every year by the cost of living increase. And that bill was tabled. And we can't figure out why. But when I asked that question, Ms. McCann-Beatty, and it should be on the tape, they were taping it, said, be careful. The suburbs appreciate much faster than Midtown. So if that bill passes, they'll be paying less in property taxes than Midtown. And my question was, then why did you hit Midtown? So if the 30% occurs in Midtown, in Lee Summit, or Blue Springs, or all of the areas that got a pass the last two iterations, I could understand that because we got hit really hard. But if the 30% occurs in the areas that are already facing inflated property values, that's going to be a problem.
And folks, all this information that we're going to be discussing today comes from, we have it this time, it came from www.jacksongov.org, and it's on their website. There was nothing like this in 2019 or 2021 that at least explains the process. One of the things that they have is a sample bill, and it shows there are nine jurisdictions that pay your money, and so your money goes to, they've got a sample bill here for, it says, it's a homeowner, owner, 1234 Main Street, Lee Summit, Missouri. And their house is, and Lee Summit, Missouri is valued at $115,000 with a $20,000 assessment. If you can find something in Lee Summit for $115,000, you take it, folks. But the average, and I looked up, the average cost of the house in the Kansas City, Missouri area community is about $230,000. So double the assessment that they have here, and the assessment for this property is $1,763.84. So if I'm looking at a $230,000 house, which is what the average is in Kansas City, I'm looking at multiplying this times two for a property tax value of $3,527.68. If I then take that and multiply that times 30%, I'm looking at $1,058.30 per year, or an average of $88.99 per month on your mortgage if you have a mortgage. Here's the kicker, folks. In December, these new values are going to be out, and your mortgage company is going to pay them. So your escrow is going to be short. So now you're $88.19 per month short, which has to be recouped for next year to pay for this year to get your escrow back in balance. The second shoe is now, that's only getting you back to balance. So you're now going to have to pay another $88.19 so that your escrow doesn't fall below levels. So you'd be looking at a roughly about $180 a month increase on your mortgage. We're paying $7 a dozen for eggs, great prices on gas, and milk is $6 a gallon, and your mortgage is going to go up. Where is the homeowner supposed to get this type of money at? And for those of you all that rent, somebody owns your building. Their property taxes are going to go up. Your building, your house, wherever you're staying. So they're going to pass that along to you in the form of a rent increase.
Yeah.
So where are people supposed to go and how do we get there? Because, folks, something's wrong with this picture.
Well, also look at the neighborhoods that got hit really hard on the east side and the west side. And you have a lot of working class families. They talk about all the jobs available, but there are a lot of jobs out there, but they're low quality jobs. They're still paying minimum wage. Even the jobs that are paying $15 an hour, people are reporting they're getting 10 hours a week, 20 hours a week, you know, not enough to even qualify for benefits. And the comparison that I give people is when we bought our house, the property taxes were $2,000. And then we refinanced later because I wasn't paying attention to how property taxes work. I was focused on my work. We refinanced to lower our rate and the payment went up. And then we realized the payment went up because the property taxes had gone up. I'm now at $6,000, which is $500 a month. If I had not appealed in 2019, I'd be paying closer to $900, $1,000 a month for a house that still has 1970s bathrooms, cracking plaster walls. I know when I went to the Board of Equalization, they said, so you've got granite countertops and heated tile floors. And I said, one bathroom does not even have a heat vent. We didn't notice that when we bought the house. They had converted a closet, so we have a space heater in there. And I said, those are all the things I would love to do, but I was raising kids, one who had health problems. And I said, we would love to start working on our house now, but you know, you put a rose bush in front of your yard, and the city comes by and says, ooh, it looks prettier. She must have done $1 million renovation inside the home. So I would go to the BOE and I said, I submitted pictures three times. I also showed before and after pictures of the house down the street that had undergone the flip. The assessment office deleted those pictures three times and then sent me a letter saying, at the Board of Equalization, you cannot present any information that was not provided in advance. So the first thing the Board of Equalization said was, where are your photos? And I said, I submitted them three times. Comps, interior shots, you know, my daughter's bathroom is still like 1920s. I said, three times. And then they sent, I said, you sent your own appraiser by. And I said, here are my keys. You're welcome to come in and see anything you want. And he says, no, we normally don't do that. That was Walter. He's a nice guy. And he says, I think we made a mistake. My outside porches, uncovered outside porches, were considered living space. I pointed out the house two doors down, which had undergone the renovation. I said, it has a new three-car garage. I said, if you stand in my backyard and look over the wall, their house extends farther than my house. So how do I have more square footage than that house? And he says, wow, we made a mistake. So he submitted a value, because we need a lot of work, of $290. And I arrived at the Board of Equalization, and they said, well, we'll compromise at $550. And I said, but it's been on the news at $290, which is still more than we paid for the house. And I said, that's not the numbers that are in your emails that Channel 5 got. So we had the appraiser come out. At the time, he was the only certified appraiser on staff. And the Board of Equalization showed him the Gail's numbers. And he said, are these your numbers? And you could just see him turn pale. And he said, these aren't my calculations. And they dismissed him. And then Gail's representative said, well, it was just a work in process. It's not the condition of her house that makes it so valuable. It's her location on the park. And that's what, when I realized that's why the west side and the east side poorer neighborhoods got hit, was it's a way to clear land that developers want. It's a way to get people out of homes that someone wants. And they're not counting on you to fight back. And I'm sorry, homeowners, they're the backbone of this city. And you can't live in the shadow of all of the developers getting tax breaks while telling people whose salary has not increased five times, sorry, someone from California moved in and that made the whole neighborhood more valuable. There's just not enough buyers at that price point.
So you know which word I'm going to use, the word that begins with the G, that we're now starting to look at gentrification.
Yep.
And I will say this, in my neighborhood, folks, 10 years ago, you could have bought the entire block for $200,000. Now one house is $200,000.
Yep.
And our seniors who've backed on, as you said, backbone of the neighborhood, moved into the neighborhood, raised their children.
Yep.
They've never renovated those houses. They may need roofs. They may need plumbing. So when the investor comes in and he says, well, yeah, your house is worth $200K, but we're sorry, it's going to take $100,000 to do it. So then we can only offer you $40,000. Where is that senior supposed to go? $40,000, they can live in our house and survive with Social Security making no payments for a bit without an issue. And then if they can get on the circuit breaker program and pay those property taxes in quarters, so it would help them. But if they move out and move into an apartment, they're going to go from paying no rent to paying, even in the place where my mom lives, it's still $600 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. And they still have to pay lights, gas, and water. So how much money do they have left to be after they pay $600 in rent for a small one-bedroom apartment, lights and water, because there's no gas? What are they supposed to eat with?
Well, or where are they supposed to get their medication with?
Exactly.
And the point I make is my daughter could not afford to live in the neighborhood she grew up in if we had not owned another house. You know, when we moved to Mannheim, we didn't sell that one. So, but we, you know, it's 1920s. It needs everything. So you stabilize it, you put on a new roof, but, you know, the kitchen needs to be gutted. The bathrooms need to be gutted. But, you know, it worked for her. She moved out of her apartment. She was paying $650 a month for a one bedroom. And she began to notice as people were moving out of the building, they were coming in and renovating. So as soon as she moved out, they had already fixed it up before she moved in. They ripped out all the new carpet and they ripped out the kitchen, put in granite countertops and hardwood floors. And the rent for that one bedroom became $1,100. So I want to put it in perspective for people. I left my career as an engineer to write books full time for children. So that meant my income was a lot lower. If I retired now, because I'm at retirement age, my Social Security check would be, I don't know, $1,100 a month. That would be eaten up 95% by property taxes if I had not appealed. So what do people do who are making $15 an hour, maybe even $20 an hour? If you get to retirement age and you're looking at this Social Security check, if that is your only source, because a lot of jobs don't provide a retirement, you can't stay in your house because there's nothing left at the end of your check. You're paying the school district and you're paying the county. There is nothing left for utilities. There's nothing left.
Well, this is what people need to understand. If you are renting, you will never retire. Because rents will continually go up. When you retire, your income goes down. Your expenses stay the same. God help you that you paid off everything before you went into retirement. Because if you didn't, if your lifestyle and expenses are the same as you had when you were working, you're going to have a huge problem, which means... And you have to be careful because now you're getting Social Security, and if you go out and go get a job and you make more than that in the Social Security starts to take back process, it's a delicate balance here. But we're going to have a lot of people who cannot afford to stay in their homes, and there's no way to go. I guess the next thing is, I guess you buy a tent.
Well, and you know what? She doesn't care. And I'm not saying that lightly. Because I was really clear that when Curtis Coons was the assessor and we said there is a big problem with what's going on, and he admitted there was a problem, the system was old, and he worked with neighborhoods to fix it. In this case, somebody I think I'd heard appealed and showed comps, and then they came back with a higher figure. They haven't been playing honestly. And the reason why I don't trust the process right now is because she sent an assessor, she sent an, one of her own staff members to my house. We spent an hour. And while he's on my lawn, I got two back-to-back phone calls. One saying my daughter's appeal was denied and my appeal was denied. While he's standing on the lawn, asking about, so you've got that triplex. I says, it's a duplex. Built in 1920s. Never been anything but a duplex. And he says, well, what about the third floor? I said, you can barely walk around there. It's an unfinished, like, it's eaves. There's no way to put a room up there. And he asked about the boiler in my house. And I said, there isn't a boiler. It's forced air gas furnace that my furnace repair guy says is older than me and him combined. I said, when's the last time you updated these files? He takes all that information in along with tons of photographs, and all of that is ignored. All of it's ignored.
I printed this off of Jackson County's website this morning. 2023 residential value and interior inspection notices are being mailed, but you haven't gotten yours yet. No. So beginning April 24th, interior inspections, which were not allowed until the state changed the law, can be requested for the following residential properties. Those that had a value increase of 15% or more, and the home was not new construction, and there were no improvements made on the home. Board of Equalization appeals can be filed here beginning May the 1st. Christine, I got a question for you. How do you file a Board of Equalization appeal if you haven't gotten the letter telling you what your property taxes are? And how do you schedule the interior inspection? How do you know if you want an interior inspection if you haven't gotten a notice? Seems everything is triggered off the notice, but we haven't gotten the notices yet.
And also be careful about interior inspections, because when they were doing exterior inspections, they were lying. I mean, the pictures on my on the account now are accurate. They, you know, they weren't before. But you have to ask yourself who's coming in your house and what judgments are they making. And I'd be really cautious about that. You know, there's precedent. The guy that bailed Frank White out, you know, when he was struggling with foreclosure and struggling to pay his federal taxes, there is an email that Channel 5 got that said Frank White asked for them to do a favor. So that guy is on 10 times my lot size, and he's got a pool house, and he's got, you know, and there are pictures online of this estate he's got. He got the same value that I got. And her justification for that was that the house was on the historic register and there was no evidence that he had done any work because there were no permits pulled. But every single other house that met that criterion, most of my personal neighborhood is on a historic register, had the same situation going on. And they were told, well, those owners must be lying. So here's what I would recommend people do. Start calling Frank White's office. He's getting paid by us. He got elected by 125,000 people, which means these next 4 years allows him to now get a pension on our dime when he leaves. You start calling the county legislators and you start calling Frank White's office and demand to know why you don't have your assessments right now. And then you start calling the news, because the only time we got any attention on this issue was when people started calling the news station and tell them to stop covering the people who have their property tax assessments right now, because I think that's a red herring. I think you send it out to people who are going to get a favorable thing. You want to find out why the vast majority of the people that I'm talking to don't have them at all. I think you have to start using your voice and your telephone to start asking the elected officials to do their job so that you can protect your house and your family.
And folks, if you want to know, Jackson County is more than just Kansas City. Jackson County encompasses Blue Springs, Buckner, Grain Valley, Grandview, Greenwood, Independence, Kansas City, Lake Lackawanna, Lake Tapawango, Lee Summit, Levesey, Lone Jack, Oak Grove, Pleasant Hill, Raytown, Riverbend, Sibley, and Sugar Creek. So these 16 different cities plus are all included in Jackson County. So if you live in any one of those, cities, you can expect to see that notice in the mail. We don't know when, but you can also, they're saying average 30%.
Yeah.
And what people need to understand, as I go back to say that your mortgage is going to pay that for this year.
Right.
But after Christmas, you're going to get a bill saying we need to recoup the money, the extra, and then we need to bring your mortgage up to a level to where you can afford to pay the extra and the amount going forward. So a lot of people are going to get some huge bills coming out after Christmas when there's no money.
Let's repeat that, because I don't think people truly understand that. If you are $1,000 short on your property tax bill, your mortgage company is going to advance that for you and make sure that bill is paid, because they don't want you to lose the property, because it means they'll lose. But they're going to add that $1,000 back into your mortgage for the next year, plus additional money, because they've only been, let's say your property taxes were $4,000. They've only been billing you for $4,000 plus a cushion divided by 12. So they're going to pay the $1,000. They're going to add that to your bill, plus the 12 months of the new value. So
that $1,000 is going to increase your mortgage by an additional $83.83. Now you multiply that times two, now your mortgage is going to go up $166.67.
Right.
So you're going to have to find an additional almost $200 out of your pocket or somewhere, or get a second job or do something to be able to pay it. Because if you don't pay your mortgage, then your mortgage company is going to put you in foreclosure. So now they're going to start the process to foreclose on you. And I'm not, this is like ringing a bell saying, folks, begin to listen. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm trying to give you an advance warning of what's going to be happening. So those are some things that are really going to happen. And I wanted to say this, and then we're going to take a break, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that Gail McCain-Beatty said, that it's a partnership between her office and the public. After 2019 and the process that resulted in many people having assessments that were very high, what do you think the partnership in this process is going to look like after 2023? And why should people trust the process?
You can't trust the process. I don't want to be a cynic. I don't. But we played fair. We provided fair numbers. We provided provided proof that things were wrong. And the assessor literally pushed back. And it made me wonder who was pushing her. Because frankly, I'd go to those meetings, she looked scared. So who is pushing Frank? Who is pushing Ms. McCann-Beatty? But I can't emphasize this enough. The circuit breaker for senior citizens is also not going to work, because we have a neighbor whose wife died. He has had the oldest house in the neighborhood. It got pushed to $1 million. So I want you to think of what the property taxes are on a house that is suddenly $1 million that he had owned for, I don't know, 60 years. So everything is public record. I looked up what he was paying, even at a quarterly rate. If you are retired, you can't come up with that money every 3 months. You can't. So she'll say, but you know, it's the levies. So the other part of this is we have to start hitting all of these groups, and especially the Kansas City School District, because the Kansas City School District helped pay for the person who was the consultant who had those wildly bad numbers in 2019, and then voted under the leadership of Patty Manser to keep the $3 million windfall, which fell primarily on the poorest neighborhoods who didn't have the bandwidth to appeal. They could have lowered their levy, but they're one of the only school districts in the state that is not required to, so that people don't get hit hard. And right now, the Kansas City School District is taking 60 cents out of every dollar that you are paying, so they have an incentive for your taxes to go up.
We're going to We're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking about the 2023 assessments, which we are learning are not coming to mail yet. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM KKFI. And our guest today is Christine Taylor Butler, who has become the face of the Fight the Property Tax Movement. If you have a question, give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. And this data that I'm going to tell you came from Jackson County website. Our property tax in Kansas City goes to 9 different entities, but the county collects it on behalf of these entities. A home with a sample market value of $115,000, which is just sample based off of that, which has an assessed value of $21,850, which results in a property tax bill of $1,763.84. That $1,763.84 is split up by these 9 entities in this way. Kansas City School District number 33 is the largest at 61 cents on a dollar. So $1,075.94 of this $1,700 goes toward the Kansas City School District. The fire gets 13.85, which is $244.29. The city of Kansas City gets 9.90%, or $174.62. Jackson County gets 6.24%, which is $110.06. Kansas City Library gets 4.62, which is $81.49. The Metropolitan Junior College gets 2.10%, which is $37.04. The Mental Health Fund gets 1.14%, or $20.11. The Board of Disabled Services gets 0.86%, and that's $15.17. And the State Blind Pension gets 0.26%, which is $4.58. Each taxing jurisdiction sets its own levy. The Kansas City Public School District levy was set in 1986 during the DSEC lawsuit by Judge Whipple, and it has been frozen at $4.96 because Kansas City residents have voted down all the increases for Jackson County. And then there's some rumors that the district wants to put a ballot measure on in the next 3 election cycles to increase its levy. So, and as Christine was saying, the last reassessment resulted in the district receiving an extra $3 million in tax revenue, which they stated at the special tax meeting that they would not reduce their levy or returning the money. We have the only public school district in the state of Missouri that is protected by the Hancock Amendment, which means they are constitutionally protected. You cannot make them lower it. They have to decide to lower it themselves, and they didn't. So we've talked about where the money goes, who gets the money, who's included in that. Christine, in your opinion, how would a 30% increase affect our senior citizens, elderly, and new homeowners who just bought homes at the top of the market, who were in a situation where some people were stretching to get that house, getting into bidding wars? What's going to happen next year when the property tax bills come due?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of. I think it takes 3 years to do a home foreclosure. In 2019, I pulled up a map of all of the homes that were subject to property tax foreclosure. And it was identical to the map that Preston Smith had prepared on the areas that got the highest property tax increase. So one, it's gonna really hurt people who are, you know, paying 6% mortgage interest. But it's really going to rock the senior community. It's really gonna rock them. It's really gonna rock other neighborhoods. And I know we don't have time to get into this, but please understand that when the property taxes went up in 2019, what I had been told was the school district got involved because it was in response to areas like when the Plaza Shopping District got bought. And I'm gonna make up the number. It was valued at $350 million and got bought for $650 million. But they had a bank of lawyers that came in and negotiated it down to below where it was before.
Let's tell the truth. Well, I know the numbers. The Plaza was sold for $1 billion. The attorneys for the Plaza came in and negotiated down the value of the Plaza from $1 billion to $150 million. This is all documented. You can go out there and look at it. So you have a $1 billion asset that if you went according to what was being said, everybody would be paying their fair share.
Right. That's where all the money is. That's where the school district money is Mac Apartment. If you go all the way down Armour right now between Troost and Main Street, you see all of this renovation and all these new buildings going up. They all have 25-year property tax abatements. So the old unrenovated house next to them is paying wildly inflated property taxes. But the Chicago developers are paying, let me repeat, zero with no set aside. So if you're a senior losing your home, you can't go to one of those buildings because they have no requirement to provide affordable apartments in these multi-million dollar high-end developments that they're putting in.
And this is the thing, though. Beacon Hill, the million-dollar houses there are only paying on the land because they've got 25-year assessments.
Yep.
But the homeowners who were there before, they're paying, in certain situations, the real property values. You know, there are urban renewal areas. Folks, if you can go to KCMO Parcel Viewer, kcmo.gov, look at Parcel Viewer, find out if your house is within an urban renewal area. If you do $5,000 worth of work and do the application fee, you can freeze your property taxes for 10 years. That's the best you're going to get right now. And it will allow you to at least give a breather to have 10 years worth of your property values being at the same amount instead of every 2 years of going up.
But there's a lot of seniors who are not. I would estimate half or more of the houses in my neighborhood are not renovated. And I went to see if we could have, you know, Armour was declared blighted so that Mac Apartments could get these tax abatements. And I said, is there something we can do in the Hyde Park area, especially for people who have lived in their houses 50, 60, 70 years old? And we were told, no, the neighborhood's too nice. And I said, but we're not Jansen Place. You know, we are not, you know, a street full of large 8,000 square foot homes. And so there are games that get played about who gets those perks and who does not. And it really comes down to what the gentleman from the assessment office said, who is now one of the people who is going to be judging you when you go in front of the Board of Equalization. Just sell your house. That's the attitude. Just sell your house or take out a home equity loan. Well, you take out the loan, that's good for 1 year. What do you do for subsequent years? They don't care.
And let me say this. Also, Walmart does that same theory. When Walmart comes into an area, they get the 25-year abatement.
Yep.
And then once the abatement runs out, it's one of two things are going to happen. And look at Hypermart out in Kansas City. They came in. They got the 25-year abatement. They then went to try to negotiate another abatement. They said, well, the area is very great. It's doing everything else. Walmart came in and said, well, we're going to shut down the Hypermart and go from there. And they moved to another area where they could get they could qualify again for a new tax abatement. And that tax abatement was already in place before they even built the store.
That's correct. And, oh, there's a holiday surprise coming for the people who are in the streetcar taxing district. Your inflated property values are then used to evaluate the surcharge you have to pay for building a streetcar that everybody in the metro area can ride for free. But only certain homeowners are taxed, and those are the ones that live within blocks of the streetcar district. And all of the businesses that are along, like Main Street and the streetcar line, are also going to be paying inflated property taxes. And if you're renting, your landlord is going to be passing that on to you. So part of this is not me or Joe talking on the radio. Part of this is we have to help people learn how to advocate for themselves, because the first thing Gail McCann Beatty said in her first public meeting was, we are struggling because all of these corporations have so many lawyers. And I said, so they have lawyers who are taking you to court. Where are our lawyers who are fighting back? And then I noticed there are two houses within a block and a half of my house. One was paying $2,900 a year less than I was paying on a fully renovated house that he even brags that he had the wood molding recreated. There is a three-story addition built on the back, a new car, a three-car garage with an apartment on top, $2,900 less. And then a house up the street was bought for $280,000. They put in a new garage. They put in $50,000 worth of repairs. You can see the permit. But they walked into the assessment office and walked out with a value of $225,000. Think about this. They have $330,000 in it, but they ended up with a value of $225,000. And the only common denominators is those two houses are owned by lawyers.
Somebody knew how to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, Jackson County has over 300,000 parcels. And the assessor stated that they were reviewing every parcel over the last 2 years. And if you've seen little blue cars in your neighborhood with the Jackson County logo, they were at your car. They were at your property. I saw them, and I saw their cars in many neighborhoods. Previously, Jackson County used a mass appraisal system that compared your property to other properties. Now they use a camera system for appraisals in Jackson County, and they can look at thousands of properties. The camera system stands for Computer Assisted Mass Appraisal. And they were saying that they used that system because they didn't have enough people doing the mass appraisal to go out and do individual assessments and look at homes. So all properties will be put on a four-year cycle where properties will be seen by the assessment department. And then also stated in that meeting that they would be have an updated website to provide homeowners information on appraisals and where the taxing jurisdictions and where their meetings were set to levy. So if you haven't gotten it, start looking at jacksongov.org, because there's folks, there's a lot of different things out there that we just print out that we've talking about that even Christine says she hasn't gotten it. And if you decide to fight your appeal, your appraisal, only gold standard that the State Taxing Board of Appeals will take is a appraisal done by a certified appraiser, which is going to cost you $500.
Yep.
So if you got it, you may want to look at doing that, because if you have to go over Jackson County, the time to do it is start to doing it is now, because when a lot of people start getting their bills, there's only so many appraisers, and appraisers are looking at the houses that are being bought and sold. And now you got people who are trying to get in line because they've got a wilder inaccurate assessment. If you've got the spare $500, it may be worth going ahead and getting it. Christine, what are the items will people need to start effectively fighting that assessment?
I'm going to give you the poor man's solution. I want you to get a physical copy of a local paper, like the Kansas City Star, the Pitch, whatever you can find that is dated. And I want you to start taking pictures of your house inside and out, holding up that newspaper so someone can't say, well, these are doctored pictures, or these are old pictures, or this is before you did a renovation. I am going to walk around my house, and I'm going to take pictures of the cracked plaster. I'm going to take pictures of where the roof leaked. I am going to take pictures of where I had my house painted 7 years ago, but because I live on a park, because of all the storm damage, we're going to have to start over. I am going to take pictures of what my house looked like. And if you have a renovated house on your street, you can often go in and find the old real estate pictures for when that house was for sale, because they have interior photos. And you can say, this is my house. This is the house you assessed for $400,000. You know, that was $400,000 more. We are not the same, because that may be enough to get you through the informal appeal or the BOE, but take a cell phone camera or whatever and start documenting the condition of your house right now.
So we've documented. Folks, also they require that you go on the Jackson County website and that you start an account so you can, if you're trying to look at getting your property, then coming inside and do the valuations, you have to have an account. So all this information is listed on jacksongov.org, and it's going to impact rents, it's going to impact mortgages, it's going to impact everything. And as Christine said, she gave the extra added bonus. It's going to impact those who live within a streetcar and those who rent from properties that are located near the streetcar. And we gave you the gold standard, which is the appraiser. And 2 years ago, I sat and talked with one of the state senators who was on the State Board of Appeals, and he told me, he said, the only proof that we will accept, we won't take your pictures, we won't take anything, is a certified appraiser.
That's if you end up going all the way to the state.
If you go all the way to the state. But you may be able to save yourself a way to go to the state if you've got the funds right now to do the appraiser and go from there. So just think about that. I know a lot of people have bought their homes in the last year. That last year's appraisal may be something that you can do, and say, well, you've got me valued at this. This is what I paid for the house, and this is the appraisal based off of that. So Just understand that.
And please don't go mad. Honestly, it's easy to be angry. But I told people back in 2019, when you go in front of the Board of Equalization, be reasonable. Because I'm hearing there are reasonable people on the Board of Equalization. Not everyone, but go in and kind of hold the anger and state your case as clearly as you can. Because you may not have to go. The woman that I talked to who was slammed to 450, everyone knew that was bogus. Everyone knew it was bogus. And the Board of Equalization dropped her. Everybody that went in with a reasonable compromise or a reasonable argument was getting the value dropped. The test case is going to be what is going on with that bank of licensed realtors who are doing the informal appeal, and why is it some people are able to go through that process now when a whole lot of people haven't even gotten a letter?
There you go, folks. I want to thank Christine for being our guest today. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Hard for those residents who live within especially the 3rd District, you know, Santa Fe neighborhood, Washington, Lee Key Coalition, Ivanhoe, and you see items on the curb, you know, there's trash, there's tires. They're going to have the Hard to Recycle event this Saturday, May the 20th at Manual Career Technical Center from 8 a.m. to noon. You can bring down your brush, trash, you can bring down tires. It's going to be all free to recycle. They have trucks there, and you can just drive up like the trash people and put your stuff in the trucks. If you've got electronics, we'll have electronic recycling, but that will come at a fee. So just let you know. So if you've got those items on your curb, trash, you know, old furniture, bring it down, put it in the truck, or call 311 and get a bulky item appointment. But this Saturday at Manual Career Technical Center from 8 a.m. to noon. And join us next week as our guest will be Councilwoman Raina Park Shaw, who didn't have an opponent, so she is automatically will be a member of the City Council next year. So for Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day, stay safe, and stay tuned for Signal to Noise.
Howdy, folks. This is Ray Wally Hubbard, and you're listening to Barry Lee on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Indeed you are. The show's called Signal to Noise. My name's Barry.